Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Wednesday morning. I received a text message from young Daniel Seckham, who spent 36 hours on an airplane travel journey into the United States. And he said, may I please have a reprieve from the broadcast today? And of course, we're going to grant unto Daniel that reprieve. He's going to be resting. We'll reschedule our time a little bit further down the road. So keep Daniel in your prayers. I know that he's got a journey ahead of him, and he needs to be recharged in spirit, soul, and body. So let's pray for that. Daniel will be with us here in Northwest Arkansas on August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And we're going to just turn him loose to impart what the Spirit of the Lord has shown him. He went on a beautiful 21-day fast, and I'm sure that God has downloaded some pearls and nuggets, and we're going to be the recipients of that. So we want to invite everybody for August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to come on out and hear the messages that God has given to Daniel. And I know we're going to have a great time getting to meet him and getting to meet one another. So make your arrangements, just a few weeks away. It's already August 7th today, and we're into some pretty deep territory right now. I kind of like what was said in the beginning of our broadcast today, and that is simply this, that so much violence in the world today, and unfortunately, much more is on the way. Men's desire to control the violence will be met with overwhelming failure, as there is no power to stop the violence without giving complete and total praise, honor, and worship to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because let me just put it out this way, that I've got someone calling in that's answered the phone. Let me just see who this is in the area code 212. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Area code 212.
Yes, I'm in love with you.
Oh, who is this now? Somebody in 212 just got on and off, and I don't know what was said. Well, call back. We'll make sure we bring you back into the broadcast. Okay. So, again, we're going to go back to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1 is where I want to read some scriptures today, because here's what we're dealing with. we know that there is a lot of violence in the world today. And you know what? Let me try that number again. Let me see who this is. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
How is all of you, okay? I cannot stop thinking about you. I care about you every freaking night.
Well, wait, let's go ahead and... Go ahead, say that again, please. Who am I talking with?
It's driving me freaked up the wall. I can't do nothing. I can't... Yes, and you also have to put ointment on my rash on my butt, too.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be praying for you. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you called in. My goodness. All right. That's somebody that needs prayer for rashes, I think is what they said. Anyways, let's get back to what I was saying here in just a little bit. What we have is a season of violence. It's everywhere. We see it rising. A lot of conversation about it. And I've been thinking about this and praying about it, about what we do with this violence. And in the world, men's hearts desire peace, right? That's what they say. And they want to put an end to the violence, particularly the active shooter type of violence and the events that are coming. And everyone's talking about this. Now, I have been listening, and maybe you have too, to many conversations about the active shooter. We brought it up last Friday, and I've been hearing a lot about it, both from non-spiritual, you know, just basically governmental agencies, and also from the Christian community. People are starting to talk to people in the church about their need to be aware and prepare and to be observant of your environment, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of conversation going on. And when you and I address this issue, I am confident that fear is what the devil is wanting to interject into our spirit, soul, and of course that would have a negative effect upon our bodies. And so I want to address the issue of fear this morning. And I want to just kind of get into some of the detail of what people are talking about. I spent probably, 2.5 hours last night going through a conversation that I'd heard on the internet, and I wanted to hear it again to really hear, because it was a federal law enforcement agent that was on a particular program and had some incredible advice, a very good conversation. But I woke up this morning and I took note in my heart that in all the conversations that we are hearing on the news and wherever, there was an element missing. There was something missing in the conversation. I mean, the idea, again, to run, hide, fight. That is what the advocates are saying that people need to be thinking about when they go out to the mall or to the hospital or wherever they go to school, to think about run, hide, fight. And then they bring in the detail to this conversation. And so I was listening and I was kind of doing my own research on it. And the idea that the element that is missing, I want to share a story with you. And I think this is relevant because, as I shared with a friend today, I know, and you should know right now, that with all the conversation that's going on in the news media, what's going on the internet, the conversations being had about active shooters, it's growing, and it appears that the federal government understands that we're going to see a rapidity of this, an acceleration of these things. And what is happening very subtly is that the spirit of fear is seeking entrance into the hearts of the people. So that when fear enters in, almost imperceptibly, you see, fear does not want to make and announce itself. It doesn't want to come to your house and knock on your door and say, "Hello, I'm fear. And, you know, I want to come into your house and bring all kinds of trouble." No, it wants to cloak itself. And so you and I have to be watchmen and watchwomen, making sure with all the conversation that is being had that we don't receive the spirit of fear. Now, some people, they turn off the news. They don't want to hear anything. And that to me is also ignorant in the sense that Jesus said, you should know the things that are coming down the pike. You could tell the color of the sky and where the wind comes from, but you don't know what time it is. And so I am not an advocate of just burying our heads in the ground and pretending everything is all right, or sticking our heads in the heaven and staying there and not understanding. Jesus didn't call for that. Jesus said we are to know, we are to watch, we are to be sober, we are to pray always. So, yes, I know where to set our mind on things above. We are to be keeping ourselves in the spirit, and I understand that, and I get that. But there's also a balance to being watchful and being prepared and to be sober and to be careful, you know, and cautious. I mean, there is an advocacy about that. Be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. There are many grievous wolves, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot going on, and you need to be careful. You need to watch. And then, of course, maintaining our spiritual relationship with God and making sure that we're the branches in the vine that are receiving the nourishment of eternal life and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. That's imperative to our standing and remaining in these last days. But when it comes to this issue of fear, the spirit of fear, it's one of the twin sisters of total destruction in the last days, which is fear and offense. They are the twin sisters of destruction, these spirits of fear and offense. So with fear, let me just show you from an experience, an actual experience. You may have heard it before. I want to share it one more time. Probably 17 years ago, that's my best guess at this. I used to play a lot of basketball in Southern California, and a couple of times a week I'd be on the basketball court shooting hoops, and we had some really good games, and I really enjoyed doing it. And on one particular day, there were a bunch of guys down at the basketball court, and there was a great game going on, and these boys, these were big boys that were there on this particular day. And in particular, there was one very thin, tall, about 6'7", 6'8", young black man, but he's probably in his late 20s, I'd say, athletic as all get out. There was another guy on the opposing team. He was a white guy. He was like out of the Marine Corps. He was rippling at 6'4", 6'5", with muscles. And these were two very tough, talented guys. And they started banging bodies on the court. And in basketball language, that just means things started getting really kind of tough. And, you know, we're all playing the game. And suddenly these guys just basically turned to one another and said, all right, here goes. And so there's all the guys on the court. Got into a big circle, and these two guys were ready to go at it, and they were ready to throw blows. And without thinking, I walked into the midst of it, kind of with a hurried pace, and I broke the line of the circle, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke this spirit. No, you will not fight. No, in the name of Jesus. I didn't think about it. I didn't try to refer to my manual of, you know, I've been trained to do this. The manual has to tell me. No, I was grown up in an ecclesia, in a body of believers. I was trained up in the house of the Lord in spiritual warfare and deliverance. And so when insane people like that person that called in today needs deliverance from the demon is making her insane. And the demonic spirits that are operating in her are acting up because the devil understands and he's trying to occupy some territory. So when we see this insanity, and I will pray for that woman's soul, by the way, because those demons have made her mad. And when I saw this with these two guys that were ready to throw blows, and I just took authority over it. Well, the fact of the matter is they never threw a punch. We got back into the basketball game, and we continued to the end. 3 weeks later, that white guy came back to the court born again. He wound up getting saved out of that whole thing. It's my point in telling you the story. You know, some people love violence. Have you ever looked around and seen the cage of fighting going on? You ever see a good hockey fight? You want to see, you know, people love violence. We have been fed a stream of violence through Hollywood for years now. Our country has been inundated with violent images. And it appears the more violent you can get in your movies, the more violent people have a lust for it, a desire for it. And that's why I get a little bit, I scratch my head once in a while and go, all right, so we see actual violence, but well, all these violent video games that are training active shooters, all these violent video games that are actually promoting violence, bloodshed, horror of every kind, nobody's crying out. Nobody's trying to put a harness on Hollywood. No one's going there and saying, hey, we don't want this kind of violence on our television screens with these guys beating the daylights out of one another. But, it used to be a little boxing and sparring, and there was technique to boxing. And there is technique to these cage fights as well, but they are brutal. They are absolutely brutal. And the fact is, nobody's crying out against it. So when we actually see it played out in our society, everybody gets, oh, we got to take the guns away. And it's the president's fault. And he's a white bigot. And he's a racist. And blah, 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 right? You hear this insanity coming from a people whose minds have been, just absolutely taken over by the powers of darkness. So on one side of the coin, people love violence. On the other side of the coin, people are terrified of violence, because violence brings fear. We have a group of terrorists in our world today called Hamas, which is the Hebrew word for violence. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, the earth is filled with Hamas. When it says the earth was filled with violence, the Hebrew word there is Hamas. So Hamas is a terror organization. It is designed to strike terror in people's hearts and minds. And so I know, instinctively, intrinsically, in my spiritual awareness and discernment, I know that people, even though they've heard this message over and over and over again, they still are going to have to deal with everything going on in the world. They're still going to have to deal with the spirit of fear. You cannot allow the spirit of fear to enter into your heart or to enter into your mind. Because think about all the nonviolent horror movies where people love terror. They love fear. They fed off of fear. Again, this is a psychological impact coming out of Hollywood, the belly of the beast, psychological impact to impression minds, particularly the younger the better, with fear, the monster under the bed, the monster in the closet, fear. And the only thing that one can do to resist the spirit of fear in these days, so let me go back for just a moment. The government will tell you in active shooter scenario, run, hide, fight. But nobody said, if you get to the point where you can't run and you can't hide and you're going to have to fight, they say throw some duct tape at the guy, a chair, a fire extinguisher, do something, fight, don't just lay down and die. But nobody said, stand up, point your finger at that demon that's operating in that person and bind it and rebuke it and cast it out. Now, if you're operating in fear, you're not going to do that. You are not going to do that if you're in fear. But if you're going through life and you find yourself in a situation and you've been growing up and you've been preparing for in your spirit to be as bold as a lion, because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions, well then, your fight is not against flesh and blood at that point. Your fight is going to have to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind that spirit. The guy can't move now. Now go and tackle him and hold him until the police get there. Then activate. Or, if you're just in that situation, fight with the name of Jesus. Okay, so that's the right thing. But again, that's not going to get into you by one conversation today. I grew up in a house of spiritual warfare. I learned. I grew up in it. I was immersed in it. So when I got into a situation, that was my response. It wasn't to form a part of the circle so those two guys could beat the daylights out of each other and we could all salivate in their bloodshed. No. And it wasn't to run out the building and go, oh my gosh, there's a fight in there. No. It was to walk into it with the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ and allow the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus to do the work. Now, I want to share this chapter with you. It's in 1 John chapter 4. Now, I want you to get this. I want to walk through it. slowly. And the first number of verses are just leading up to the essence of what I want to share with you today, that I believe the Spirit of God wants you to know, okay? You're a believer. Number one, let's admit one thing. You and I, as believers, children of God, cannot afford at all to have a spirit of fear. Okay? Number one, we cannot entertain a spirit of fear or have a spirit of fear. And if we have one, we're going to cast it out today. Okay? So I want to begin in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And here's what it says. Beloved, he's talking to you right now. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, this is 2,000 years ago, and you know there's been an exponential rise of everything in the created universe, particularly on this earth. So if there were many false prophets 2,000 years ago, there's a multitude of the many, okay? But what was their message? Verse 2, hereby know ye and understand something about false prophets. They're not just in the church. These are spirits, okay, that are out there in the world. They're in news media. They're in government. They're in social networks. They're everywhere. So what is that false prophet spirit? In verse 2, hereby know ye, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, let me give you my simple interpretation of that. In the Muslim religion, on the mosque in Jerusalem that's in the Temple Mount, there is written in Arabic writing, Allah has no son. So that's a blatant, in-your-face, Islamic religious reality. Allah has no son. In other words, they have denied the sonship of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. Okay? Now, Islam will say that the Isa of Islam, which is the Arabic word for Jesus, the Isa, is a prophet. So in a sense, they admit that there was a Jesus Christ who was definitely a prophet, but you're going to see here in just a moment, there's a denial of the Son of God is also connected to this. Now, New Age metaphysics believe in Christ consciousness, but they never believe in the actual manifestation of Jesus Christ on this earth, who died on a cross and shed his literal blood. There's a blackout of that. And there are a lot of people in the world today that do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, as we will see in a moment, to do what he came to do. So this is how you know, this is a great beginning point, that the Spirit, who the Spirit of God is. Every spirit, whoever you're talking to, that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. There's a knowledge there. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So listen. You're living in a world with billions of people today, and every spirit, every pneuma, every breath that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So 2,000 years ago, the spirit of Antichrist was in the world. The spirit of Antichrist, the actual Antichrist, the manifestation, the embodiment of the Antichrist is what shall arrive in the last days. We know that through Thessalonians. We know that through the Word of God. But the spirit of Antichrist was already in the world. It's been here for 2,000 years. And you're living in a world. Listen, this is how you separate light from darkness. Get out of the gray zone. Everything that is not confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And you're going to see the full-blown manifestation of that during the Great Tribulation in Revelation 13, where the whole world is worshiping the dragon and the beast because the spirit of Antichrist has taken root in their hearts and minds. So the denial of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh is Antichrist. That's it. That's black and white. That's left and right. That's light or darkness. That's life or death. That's right down the middle. Okay? Now, John continues on. He says, okay, the spirit of Antichrist is here. It's alive and well today as well. Verse 4, he says to you, his beloved, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who? Antichrist. Every breath, every spirit that denies the Lord Jesus, he says, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How have you overcome them? By the wisdom and knowledge of the word of God that you have opened your heart to receive the biblical reality. You have been born again. You know that the Bible is the inerrant, unadulterated word of God. That Bible is God's book that he has kept in this world for thousands of years with all the history and the data, and you have opened up your heart by faith and received that word. You can argue with the greatest Antichrist spirit on the face of this earth. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The disputers of the world cannot stand in the presence of the wisdom that God has put inside of you, because greater is he that is in you, Christ in you, than he that is in the world. So you have the greater power as a believer, as a son and daughter who have accepted the work of Christ on the cross. You have the power. It's there. Now it says in verse 5, they are of the world. All these people that will not confess Jesus Christ come in the flesh and do the work that he did, they are of the world, period. Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world hears them. And this is where I get concerned about these Christian programs that are talking about run, hide, fight, but they never tell the Christians to speak the name of Jesus in their fight. It's all become physical. It's all become natural. And they've totally stripped away the supernatural spiritual authority that we have been given, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And this is imperative for our understanding. Now, they are of the world, verse 5, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6, here's the drawing the line. We are of God. You and I, we are of God. Are you ashamed of that? I'm not ashamed of that. We are of God. And he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. See, when you and I, we are of God, right? And whoever hears us, then they're hearing God. Who does not hear us? They're not of God. That's it. Isn't that powerful? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You see, it's either or. You got to get on one side of this day, either the glorious light or the gross darkness, one side or the other. You got to take your stand because multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. In other words, the valley of not knowing which way to go, one foot in, one foot out. Don't get there, you're going to get hurt in the midsection, right? Don't be lukewarm, you get spewed out of your mouth, right? I mean, we've heard that. No compromise. The little leaven leavens the whole loaf. The little foxes spoil the whole vine. You're not running for 30-fold or 60-fold. You're going for the 100-fold. You and I are being measured, as a friend and I were talking this morning. We're being measured to one thing, and that is to Christ. We'll talk about that later in Ephesians 4. And until we rise to that measure, we're not ready. But let's move on. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning.
How are you?
It's a wonderful day to get things right.
Well, we're working on it.
Well, praise God. It can't go wrong then.
All right. Well, join me in the conversation this morning, Patricia Joy, because I am now in 1 John chapter 4. verse 7, and I'm marching towards a moment where these scriptures are going to come alive in big time fashion. So 1 John 4:7, beloved, this is God again, this is the Apostle John, the Spirit of God reaching out to you and I today. Beloved, let us love one another. All right, so now we're going to get, we're start moving towards an answer, a solution to the fear issue that's going on in the world today. And I'm going to prove to you something, that this is very much the truth. And don't let me forget about finishing the story about the two basketball players that there was a divine intervention on, okay? So 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. Okay, this is now John talking to the believers, the God people. Okay, and he's saying, you guys love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And we are called to love every human being on this earth, even the people that are a little bit taken over by demons, okay, or some much. So the love of God is the proof that we know God. For he that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he that loves not knows not God. For God is love. Can you just say that out loud with me for a moment? God is love. In this, verse 9, was manifested the love of God toward us. Here's how God demonstrated his love. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So, you know, people hear it all the time. God is love. God loves us. God loves you. But there's got to be a demonstration, a manifestation. What is the difference of Buddha's love and Allah's love or Muhammad's love or Confucius's love or your parents' love? What is the love? How is love manifested? Well, when it comes to God, God manifested his love toward us when he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into this world so that we might live through him. And we know what his Son did in this world. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that word propitiation, it's a pretty big word. It's hilasmos, hilasmos. And what it simply means is an atonement, an expiator. He sent him to be an atonement. You're telling me that God loved me while I was a sinner? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Verse 11, and I'm going to turn this over to Patricia for a moment. Beloved, if God so loved us that he would die for us while we were sinners, we ought also to love one another. John is focusing on the internal love of the family of God because there's going to be a lot of hatred in this world against believers. It's just going to be that way. And he's not calling for a sloppy agape fest either, by the way. If love is demonstrated in an act by God, then our love must be demonstrated, not feelings-oriented. We're not talking about emotional, feelings-oriented love. What we're talking about are genuine acts of sacrifice, offering, helping, serving, doing for others. Because love is defined in how God loved, God gave. Our loving one another must be in the realm of service as well. And it's not just giving stuff, although stuff is important at times. It is acts of love that need to be demonstrated within the body of Christ because people are going to be under a lot of pressure. That's what tribulation is all about, pressure. And the whole world is going to hate and people are going to be tempted to give in and throw in the towel. We have got to be there to encourage one another daily, to assist one another, serve one another, help one another, recognize some are weak in the faith, some are strong in the faith. We need to have this thing worked out by the time we arrive at the moment of destiny to be an overcomer, to walk through the Great Tribulation. Patricia, some thoughts from you before I move on here.
Yes, you had mentioned that there are people, and there are multitudes of people, who really don't know who Jesus Christ is. As you said, they know about him in a certain manner and way, but do not understand that he truly is God himself. And Paul, the apostle, once felt the same way. Did you know that? He brought it up in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, "Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way also, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God himself has given us the task of reconciling people to him, in which you're doing right now. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself." God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He wasn't outside of him, just directing him. He was in him and no longer counting people's sins against them. What a freedom that is. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you today. We urge you, as though Christ himself were here, pleading for you to be reconciled to God. In the times we're in, it's imperative. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ if he never understood his sacrifice. And as God's partners, Vincent and I, we beg you not to reject this marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God says, "At just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you." Okay, God is ready to help, and he's ready to help right now. Today is a day of salvation for all of us, each and every one of us. Each new day is a day of salvation. And so, is there any fear in this? None whatsoever. For he did not give us a spirit of fear, as you had mentioned, but love and power and a sound mind. That sound mind comes from Christ. And the power to do what Pastor Vincent did on the course was not thought through. It was there empowering him to do so. And so you have a understanding that he did not, Christ Jesus did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us love, as he is love, power to go and do things we just never would have considered doing, and a sound mind to know the difference, judge properly.
Amen. Well said, Patricia Joy. Another day to get it right. And I was actually thinking of a story when you were talking. You remember in California, and I'm giggling on this one, because we're getting better at this. We're getting better at this. I'll never forget, Tuesday morning, whatever it was, and you were gone to a deliverance. There was a woman that needed a deliverance. So you went to Lana's house in Rancho Bernardo, and you called me about 45 minutes later. I was just kind of wandering around the house, and you said, "I need you to come over here." And I didn't really know what was going on. You just said, "I need you to come over." So I got dressed up. I got in the car. I went over. Remember this story? And I knocked on the door, and the door was open. They said, "Come on in." So I walk into this apartment. Everything looked normal. Patricia was sitting down. There was a young lady, seeming very nice young lady, sitting across the table from her. Lana was in the kitchen doing something, I forget. And I walked in. I'm like, "Well, gosh, where's the problem? I don't understand." And Patricia said, "This is so-and-so," to the young lady across from her. And I reached out my hand. I said, "Hello." And she looked at me, her eyes got wild, and she flipped out. And I won't even do it over the airwaves.
Oh, the scream was incredible.
She flipped out. And my first response was hit it. And I thought whack this thing, because it really kind of bothered me, put some fear.
Yeah,
I got the devil. Yeah. On this one, I got afraid. I was just like, you know, I don't know what's talking to me. And my first response was hit it. But I didn't, because I knew it was a woman there. And so we went into spiritual warfare. And anyways, I'm giddy about that. 1 John 4:12. Here it is. You ready? No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Okay, I'm marching towards these meaty verses here to give an answer to what we're going to be facing and how we're going to get the victory, okay? So we're talking about love. John's talking about God's love being perfected in us. And we're going to look at that word perfected in just a moment. 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So obviously there's a connection to having the ability to love by God's Spirit. And we know in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, same Spirit of God. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. All right, that's the message. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, not just a human being, a prophet, but whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Know that about yourself today. And we know and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now, Patricia, before I go, the next three verses are the heavy hitters here. Here comes the solution. Here comes the solution. Anything you want to say at this point?
No.
Okay, so here it is. So I just ended up in verse 16. That he that dwells in love dwells in God. You live there. And God dwells in him or her, right? So now 1 John 4:17, here's the issue. Herein is our love, your love, my love, our love. This is how our love is made perfect. Ah, listen. As a Christian, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, said Paul to Timothy. And John is now speaking, and he's telling us, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as Christ is, as God is, so are we in this world. Let me read verse 17 again with a little definition. Herein is our love, the agape, made perfect. That word perfect is teleo. Teleo. And it means to complete, to consummate in character, to make full. So think about it. Herein is our love made complete. So we have love shed abroad in our hearts, but it grows. We grow in love. Love becomes. It becomes more and more. But the power here is that we may have boldness. When our love is perfect, when our love is complete, we will have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is in love, as God is in love, so are we in love in this world. We're not waiting to get to the next world. And here's verse 18. There is no fear in love. Ah, we have an answer to the fear problem. There is no fear in love. Now, that word fear is the phobos. That's where we get our English word phobia, right? And the word phobos is dread or terror or that which strikes terror. It is alarm or to be afraid, okay? And people have different phobias about different things. Do you know that every single phobia can be overcome by love? There is no phobia in love. But listen now, to those that have phobias, to those that have fears, any one of us, he says in verse 18 again, but perfect love, complete love, cast out fear. The word cast there is balo. And the word balo, I love this, literally means to throw, to strike, or to throw down. So what does perfect love do? It strikes and throws down or thrusts down fear. Let me say it again. To cast means to throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. That's part of the definition. To thrust, to strike. What's it striking? What's it thrusting? What's going on here? Again, the scripture is perfect love, perfect agape, cast, thrust, strikes down, out, throws it out. That word out there is the exo. And the word exo there simply means outside of doors, outward. So it throws it out of your house. So perfect love, perfect agape, the word love there when it talks in every definition was agape. And that means affection or goodwill, benevolence, brotherly love. Okay? Again, it's talking about a love feast of charity. And when we talk about charity, we're getting into deep definition now because charitable acts are what are employed here. So the good news about this message is that there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. Uh-oh. And that word torment is the kolasis, and it means correction, punishment, and penalty. It is literally a penal infliction, and it is connected with the thought of punishment. Fear always brings a punishment to your own soul, to your psyche, rather than walking in peace and in joy and in love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fear creates an environment that brings punishment upon your soul. So the answer to all fear is perfect love. And then the rest of 18 says, he that feareth, whoever's got the fear, the phobias, is not made perfect in love. That's all it is. So anytime you or I have fear, phobias, when anytime we get into fear, immediately we must say, wait a second. I need to love in this situation here. I need to love to protect myself. I'm not loving just out of sloppy agape. Oh, I love you, brother. No, I'm choosing to love because my love has to grow. And I'm going to operate out of love so that I don't get into punishment, because if I open the door to fear, then I'm going to be punished. And whoever fears is simply not made perfect in love. And Patricia, I'm going to leave it with you for right now. Your thoughts.
Well, you're so absolutely true. It is so imperative that this is spoken of right now, because in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to the apostles about these days that are approaching and the ones we're in right now. And Jesus told them, Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah. They will lead many astray, and wars will break out near and far, but don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. The nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. We're seeing that right now. But all this will be only the beginning of horrors to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. And we have seen that. There has been beheading all over the eastern parts of the world of Christians who would not say no to Jesus Christ. They are martyrs. So he says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because of your allegiance to me. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And that will be done because of fear. These people will turn away from one another. These Christians will turn away from one another because they become afraid of what they see coming upon the earth. And many false prophets will appear and will lead many people astray. Now listen to this. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Oh, are we not seeing that? Especially on the left. And the love of many will grow cold. And you're talking about love. And the reason the love of many will grow cold is because they will be afraid. They will become fearful. But there's a promise. But those who endure to the end will be saved. Now, how do we endure to the end? We will not fear. We will walk fearlessly because we were given love. Jesus said, I came not to give you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. And I think that is being done right now as we're speaking over the waves of the internet, and it's going all over the world to speak of these things that have been prophesied so that all nations will hear it. And then finally, the end will come.
Wow, powerful words, and what a beautiful balance. And Patricia, as you were reading, this came so clear in my mind that everything I've just read in 1 John chapter 4, it's concentrated on the saints loving one another first. And then these words came into my spirit. When we love one another in the body of Christ properly, we're building, we're coming to that perfect love. When we love one another properly, we are building inward character to love others in spite of events or actions that they do. So the idea is, whether you're in a gym or whether you are the part of the Roman army 2,000 years ago, they used to spar with each other. The military on the same team, the brotherhood, they talk about the love. In sports, it's the same thing. And you always go through these rehearsal events. They spar with one another. They do tactical things against each other. You go to boot camp. You find out how to do this so that when you get into actual battle with your enemy, you're going to have learned something. And when it comes to love, we are to be rehearsing and practicing our love amongst ourselves. More than anything is the love, the working out, building love, genuine, true love. And as we're doing that among ourselves, when we get out of that world, we see these active shooters, because someone's out there going, well, how do you love with an active shooter? You will have already built up an inward character that you'll respond like I did on that basketball court many, many years ago. And this is very important.
Well, the reason I believe is so important is males have a deep-rooted desire to be powerful. And so to prove that they are powerful among the multitude of other men, they will go to extremes for attention. But when you have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in you, it isn't done in a manner of self-serving one's ego. It's done in a manner to be powerful to set others free, set captives free, not to show your power to kill and destroy, like we have seen just the last 2 days with these insane murders, but to show yourself powerful to bring others out from their bondage and bring them into great deliverance. And this is what has been placed within us by the Holy Spirit to accomplish, especially in the days we're in, where now it's becoming a face-to-face combat, and we are the army of Christ.
Amen. And Patricia, I want to go back to the basketball story, because there was one point in there that I've reserved. When those two men were ready to throw punches, somebody was going to get hurt. I mean, it would have been a brutal fist fight. There's no doubt. Now, the people that were surrounding it going, yeah, they were egging it on, you know, you would think, well, they weren't afraid. And somebody screaming and yelling, oh my gosh, they're fighting, that would have had more fear. But with what happened to me, when I walked into the midst of that thing, I was operating at that moment in God's love, because it wasn't about protecting me. I wasn't going to get hurt, and I didn't want to see. It was God's love in me that didn't want to see those guys hurt each other. And that's why the boldness came to be able to walk in the midst of everything and say no.
And that you were prepared to do that without thinking about doing it, without running to the experience because of your own fear or your own desire to get, you know, known. It was to be involved in something that wasn't right and have it corrected by the Spirit of God. And it wasn't you. It was the Holy Spirit reacting within you to do what you did. You didn't consider it mentally at all.
And it was the love of God. And now we take this to an active shooter. Somebody that is ever in that situation, what everybody needs to be teaching people out there rather than just run, hide, and fight, is that when you are immersed in the love of God and you've practiced that love, you've grown in love by serving the body of Christ. This is where the love is growing. Well, that active shooter comes and that love of God comes on you. It produces boldness, and the name of Jesus becomes more potent and powerful.
Yes.
When spoken by the love of God.
Yes. And beyond that, which is the greatest thing you can imagine, you fear no man.
Yeah, because you're not trying to protect yourself at that point. But what you're doing is you're loving the people around you that are in harm's way. You're loving the person that's doing it because their soul is going to be eternally damned to hell. Now, you know, I don't try to go ahead.
And because also love covers a multitude of sin. That man is the greatest sinner in the sight of the multitude of people. But love covers it and reacts not only to help others, but to even help the man that's doing what he's doing.
And having a word spoken in due season at that moment when the love of God has taken over your life, you'll have a word that will paralyze that shooter. I believe you could paralyze them. One word, a word of knowledge come out of your mouth at that moment about something. You know, God can do it, and he can minimize the damages. Salvation can go forward, even if it's the thief on the cross. And it's almost, we've got 30 seconds to say goodbye.
Well, I want to just say in Mark 16, the Bible is clear that if you're a believer, he will give you power to cast out devils. He will give you power to heal the sick. When you are coming against evil, and there's evil in various ways of deception, and then there's evil that is very obvious at the moment. When you are against evil in the times in which we're in, especially, but it's always been, you are empowered to cast out the demon within that individual that is causing that evil, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and dark spirits within individuals. So we have been given even that. So this is why when we come out among the people, if we understand and have been taught properly, we will not be afraid of nothing, not even the devil himself.
Which means we'll have more clarity to get the job done. And now we are not going to stop warning of the coming violence. It's already here. It's coming. And men desire to take guns away and all that, they're going to be overwhelmed with failure. It's, you can't stop what's coming. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we're learning how to walk through it. So don't be afraid. Be blessed. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here and on the Omega Radio Network at www.omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion going on right now. We're getting ready to go to Kerm Radio. We'll see you over there. Bible study tonight. Get ready for a blessed, blessed night. We'll see you soon. Shalom and God bless.